This is Changing the Rules, a podcast about designing the life you want to live. Hosted by Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Casey Dempster. Welcome to Changing the Rules. I'm here with my co-host, Ray Lowe, and we have two really fascinating guests to join us in a few minutes. But a word about the podcast. Changing the Rules is about change and transition, and we know that there are many people in the world who do not handle change well. They resist it, they fight it, they hate it. And we believe that if you feel that you're in control of what's happening, maybe the change won't be so unpleasant for you. So we think that if you're thinking about retirement, or if you're thinking about changing jobs, or you're being forced to change jobs by someone else, or if you just want to jump start something new in your life because you're a little unhappy with where things are going, this podcast is for you. We believe that in order to handle this change and transition, you need to have a plan. And you can't just sit back and wait for things to happen and react to them. You have to plan ahead. So we are going to talk about a lot of different things in our podcasts, but most of them will be talking with people who are involved in change, whether it's their own change, whether it's helping people through change and transitions. But that's what we're after here. And just remember, just because things have always been done a certain way doesn't mean that you have to keep doing them that way. You can change the rules for yourself. And before I let Ray jump in here, because you know once he starts talking, it's hard to stop him, he brought me a fortune from his cookie yesterday, and I'm going to read it. It says, change is not merely necessary to life, it is life. So, Ray?
My turn now?
Yes.
So before we get started on this, how do you get that enthusiasm when you start this show?
Because I'm having fun.
But it's still morning. I mean, you know, the rest of us are asleep.
I've had 3 cups of coffee.
Okay. All right. So this morning, we're going to talk about babysitters.
I've done a little bit of that.
Now, you know, everybody's sitting around there saying, what in the heck does a babysitter have to do with all the stuff that we have in life? But, you know, the other day, let me backtrack a little bit. I live in an over 55 community, and we have a clubhouse, and every once in a while I actually go to that clubhouse and sit down and talk to people. And the other day I met a new couple that had moved in recently, and I sat down with them and said, how are you guys, and how are you feeling, and how do you like our place, and you know, by the way, how come you moved down here? And they said, well, we moved down here because we decided we want to be closer to our grandchildren. You know, great motive, right? And I said, okay, so how's that working out? And I get this deathly silence at the other end. And all of a sudden, the wife comes back and she says, oh, it's working out pretty well, just not quite pretty well the way we thought it was going to work out. And so we started to probe into this, and they said, well, you know, we came down here and we were thinking, boy, every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 9 to 12, we'd take our grandchildren and we'd feel great about it. We feel like we're getting close to them and stuff like that. Well, it turns out after a while that we're 6-day-a-week babysitters, and it's not quite what we envisioned, and we don't feel bad about it. Because we love our grandchildren and we really think we're helping our kids. But here we are in a situation that we didn't envision. It's been a change in our life. And, you know, this is one of the biggest things that I think people do as a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And the mistake is if you don't have a plan and you don't have that plan really defined well and you don't communicate it to other people, what happens is you get their plan.
Yes, they'll make a plan for you.
Yes, and the next thing you know, you're caught up in their plan. And, you know, this works. It's not just babysitting. It's everything. It's as simple as Sandy will hate me for this, but we, you know, I'll go home and I'll say, well, what do you want for dinner? And she'll say, I don't know. What do you want for dinner? And eventually, the one who has the strongest desire and the better plan will win on dinner, right?
As they should.
As they should. Okay? but a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this show starts with what is the plan? What is it that you want? Now, let's take a minute and talk about how do you know what you want?
Yeah, actually, that sometimes is a very difficult thing, and I'll speak about myself personally. The way I was raised, we were not allowed to, it was considered poor form to put your own interests first. So we were not given permission, so to speak, to insist on what we wanted. And so you kind of let the authority figure decide what it was. And then and then society tells us, and it especially tells women, that you are putting yourself last because the children are more important, your husband is more important, your job is more important. And it, that habit is so ingrained in us, it is really, really difficult. And when I've been asked in the past, where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years, I have a really hard time articulating.
Yeah, because somebody else had a better plan than you had, didn't they?
Right, or a bigger stick.
Okay, so we're going to talk about this, you know, every week, kind of, and mm-hmm. and it'll come back again. But mm-hmm. but I think there are a couple things that you really have to do. Mm-hmm. First of all, you have to start now. Okay, I don't care what your age is. I don't care if you're 20, 18, 47, or like me, really old.
Thank you.
but you got to start now, and you got to do a couple things. You know, the first thing to do is to have a vision. Let your vision and your imagination run rampant, and come up with something. And most people come back and say, "Well, yeah, but that's my imagination. How do I know that that is the plan?" Okay. And if you don't have the vision and you don't feel like you have the imagination, steal. find out what other people are doing and pilfer it from them.
So you mean ideas?
Yeah.
Not property.
Absolutely. And then you got to go into the test phase, mm-hmm. because nobody, in fact, really knows what they want to do. I mean, look at our jobs. You know, we start life and we go to college, we go out and get a job. How do we know that's the job we want? And
right.
the answer is we don't.
Right.
But we learn from the job and then we change our right. rules. We change other people's rules.
Right.
And we finally figure out what it is that is important to us and what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to come back at the end of our show today and talk about our 90-day planning process, because once you start to get the sense of what you want to do, there's a really, really good way to make it happen without feeling like you're committing your whole life without knowing where you want to go.
Right, right.
Okay.
So can I do one more quote?
You can, and then we have a commercial, and then we have guests.
Okay. This quote's from somebody named Tony Morgan. I didn't look up who he or she is, but it says, "You get to decide where your time goes. You can either spend it moving forward, or you can spend it putting out fires. You decide. And if you don't decide, others will decide for you." So I think Tony's been listening to you.
No, I think I've been listening to Tony. I think Tony's even older than I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's take our break, and then we will get back and introduce our guests.
You're listening to Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world. We will be right back with more exciting information.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. I said that I wanted to introduce our guests. So I'm going to start first with Chris Parsons, who actually some of you may remember from our first podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is of Parsons PR, but today she's visiting us in her capacity as working with an organization called Expert Events.
Yep.
And so we're going to talk to Chris in a minute, and she brought with her Kelly Harris, who is the CEO of the Cancer Support Community of Greater Philadelphia. So, Chris, why don't you give us a little bit more of an introduction of Kelly.
Well, this is a group that we're working for a gala that they're having on next week, actually, Thursday, October 10th, at the Lucy. The Lucy is a new facility on Broad Street, and we're doing a wonderful fundraiser to raise funds and information about this wonderful organization that doesn't diagnose cancer but works with Gilda's Club, right, in Warminster, and it's cancer support,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about cancer support and what happens when you get that diagnosis, not just yourself, but your family, your friends, how everybody deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, you've been the CEO for this for how many years?
I've been there for 17 years now.
Wow. Wow.
And you yourself are a cancer survivor.
I am. And that's really what brought me to the organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do your mission and what you do on a daily basis there with Cancer Support.
Thank you. So as Chris said, you know, we provide support for anyone diagnosed with any kind of cancer, their family members, their friends, their professional associates. And what we know is that receiving a cancer diagnosis is life-changing. Mm-hmm. When you talk about change, right? What bigger change can you have than this? But it also causes fear, anxiety, stress in so many ways because you can't always anticipate what that change may be.
Right. And you're not in control.
That's right. You're not. And so that's one thing I think that, we do provide. We provide a community where people can participate in support groups. We provide individual counseling. We have experts that come in from cancer centers all around the greater Philadelphia area that can dispel myths about, you know, people's fears, anxieties. Straight out education. We have mind body programs. We have an extensive program for children and teens, which is really helpful. And in fact, what we found is that for parents managing a cancer diagnosis, whether it's their own or their children, is very difficult. It changes home life, work life. So we started going into the middle schools and high schools in the area and providing support groups for the kids so that it didn't take up an extra part of their day.
That's a great idea.
The great thing that we're able to do is that we provide all of this free of charge. Mm. So nobody has to pay anything to participate in any of our programs. And we do that intentionally. We want to make sure that there are no barriers for people to be able to come and do what they like there.
That's fantastic.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure.
I've always felt, and I know probably most of us feel that way, you find your best friend or a good friend has cancer, and you don't know what to do. You don't want to stay away, but you don't know how to get close. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't want to feel like you're being overly compassionate, and yet you don't want to be aloof. So how do you handle this? What do you do?
You know, that's a really tough thing because if it's somebody you care about, that causes fear and anxiety in you as well because you're not sure what's going to happen with them. You know, I think often we tell people it's not always about saying something. Sometimes it's just about being there for the person, letting the person know that you're available. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times what you'll hear from people is they'll say, let me know if you need anything. Well, if you're the person that was just diagnosed, you're managing your illness, your treatment, all this stuff. The last thing you have on your mind is to say, well, now who said, let me know if I can do anything, right? Because now the burden's back on you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's, you know, just about dropping a card in the mail, just making a phone call and saying, hey, you up for talking, just stopping by. Right. And you know, really let the person know if it's not okay, that's okay with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who had a very close friend who moved away to Michigan or someplace. And, you know, they kept in touch and so forth. And they would see each other occasionally. And then all of a sudden she realized she hadn't heard from this friend in about a year. And so she kept, you know, trying to contact them. And finally, she found out that the friend had been diagnosed with cancer, but didn't want to visit, didn't want to talk to anybody. So she just got in her car and drove to Michigan and showed up on the doorstep. And the friend was a little bit uncomfortable because, of course, she wasn't expecting anyone, so the house wasn't right. Probably didn't look good. But she really, really appreciated the fact that Joan drove out there to see her. And Joan was so glad she did because that was the last time she saw her.
Oh, gosh.
But so sometimes you have to force it. Like, even if they say, I'm not ready for company right now. Sometimes, you know, you have to gauge, I would think, the circumstances. But, you know, sometimes you kind of have to just take control that way, too.
Well, and you know, it's funny. People will tell us that one of the hardest things they've ever done is walk through our front door. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost as if that's the acknowledgement that you really do have cancer, right? Because you're in a little bit of disbelief. Right. You know, it's the old saying, we all know we're going to die, but nobody believes it.
That's true. Yep.
Right? So, I mean, when you hear those words, you have cancer, it really is almost surreal. Mm-hmm. So once people get inside our doors and participate in our community, they can really relax. They can share their fears. They can look around and say, you know, it's okay. It's mm-hmm. okay that I can take off my wig. It's okay that I can be here and not have to act as if everything's okay.
Right.
You know, and anymore today, cancer doesn't have to be fatal, at least in the short run. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Absolutely.
And I think we forget that. And so there is life after your initial exposure to cancer. So there's a whole lot of stuff that you have to deal with here. So let's get specific about what it is that you do for people. So somebody comes to you, they've just been diagnosed with cancer, they find out about you from somewhere, somehow. What do you do? What are the steps?
So the thing that we have to offer is all of our staff that work directly with cancer patients are licensed mental health professionals.
Okay.
Which really gives them the background to be able to work with people. So if somebody comes through our front door, let's say it's a young mom with breast cancer. So one of our staff will sit down with her and say, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking to participate in a support group? Support groups aren't for everyone.
Right.
But for some people, that's a lot. We have groups that are specific for women with breast cancer. So they may say, yeah, I want to talk to other women who have breast cancer. They may want support for their kids. So we'll set them up and give them the information about how to participate in that. They may want one-on-one counseling, so we can set them up for that. They may want to learn about the side effects of chemotherapy, so we can set them up with that. And we have a monthly program calendar that we produce that the staff can sit down and highlight all of the activities that a person may want to participate in. And there's mm-hmm. no pressure to participate. It's as much or as little as people like. And we know people don't feel well, and sometimes that doesn't work. But we try and make it accessible through live streaming and things like that, so that people can still get the support that they need. So when they leave that first time, they have a pretty clear sense of what might be the way that they want to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can a friend call you too and just say, I have a friend who's got cancer and I don't know what to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have programs for caregivers and friends. We have educational programs about that. We have all kinds of things that help friends and caregivers learn how to better manage their anxiety and their stress, because
sure.
it does affect them, right?
Absolutely. It affects the whole community.
It sure does.
Okay. So how do I find out about this? I mean, I'm sure you have a website.
We do.
But how do we get the message across of here's the place you start? Okay. So we find out something not so nice is happening, not necessarily to us. It could be us. It could be a friend. Where do we start?
I think if you visit our website, which is www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org, there is an opportunity to send us a message, contact us, or you can call us directly. All our contact information is listed on there. We have two main locations, and we also operate in 5 hospitals across the Philadelphia area. So we really make it easy for people to access us.
Mm-hmm.
So just visit our website and get our information, give us a call, and we get back to people within 24 hours.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Great.
So organizations like yours can't subsist without help.
That's right.
So we have two things here. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about volunteers and what you need and how you get them and why people should consider doing this. And then we'll let Chris get back in here, too, because she's
sure.
chomping at the bit.
Big event. Lots of fun.
Yeah, it's a party.
And
Chris and a party. All right. So let's talk about the volunteerism first. First of all, what do you need for help? How do you go about doing this? And why? What are the benefits of volunteering?
I'll tell you, Ray, we can use volunteers in a ton of different areas. And the great thing about volunteering with us is if you have an hour a week, if you have an hour a month, we can find a place for you. So we need volunteers to do everything from answering the phone to helping us clean up our locations to shredding papers to filing things, helping us at special events. And you know what? I think particularly if you have a cancer experience, and you know, sadly, who doesn't in their family, friends,
right.
neighborhood?
Right.
It really gives you a sense, I think, of being able to give back and really support even people you don't know who are going through a really tough time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I know, like, I was never touched personally by cancer until my sister contracted breast cancer about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And then all of a sudden it was like somebody said to me, cancer doesn't have a family.
Right.
I mean, just because you've never heard of it in your family doesn't mean it can't happen.
Right.
And so because I was so ill-equipped, because I hadn't had any personal experience, and then, of course, she lived in Texas, so it was not possible for me to personally go help. Volunteering would be an excellent way of giving back, even though your group didn't personally help her.
Right.
Somebody helped her.
Right.
Right. Sure. So it's like giving blood.
Yeah. And we have jobs for anybody of any age. We have teens that come in and help. We have senior citizens that come in and help. And I feel as if people really get good value out of participating. They really feel good about what they can contribute.
Well, right. And let's go back to our plan at the beginning here, because, you know, here's a real good opportunity for people who aren't sure what they want to do with the rest of their lives to pick up the phone, make a call and say, I want to get involved. And maybe it won't be a permanent kind of involvement. Maybe it will be the kind of place where I go and I test and I see what I want to do and see the kind of relationships I build working with other people and do some good in the process of finding out what I want to be when I grow up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm going to just say before we get into the fun part, one thing about working with volunteer organizations, because I've done it off and on through my adult life, and I have a tendency to be unable to say no, and I end up feeling so drained. And because, and this is not a negative, volunteer organizations will bleed you dry.
They can, sure.
Because, and I'm not talking money, I'm talking your time. And so don't let yourself get into that position. Don't be afraid to say, no, I can't do that.
Right.
Or I can only give you this much time. Or like you've got to set your own boundaries and change the rules for yourself, because otherwise you end up leaving that organization regardless of how much good you think they're doing because you're just worn out.
Yeah. We try and make sure that people are comfortable in their volunteer role. And we actually ask people, we give them a handbook of opportunities and we say, you know, what would you like to try? If that doesn't work, let us know. We can try something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very aware of that because that is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but you got to say yes to Kelly before you can say no later.
That's
right?
True. Right.
Okay,
that's
so
true.
We're all going to get to the website. We're going to say, yes, Kelly, we'd like to help somehow. And it's either being a volunteer or maybe it's going to a party even.
Going
as simple
to a party.
As that.
Yeah. People love doing that.
So talk about what you're planning here and how it all fits together. And we'll turn it over to Chris here, I think.
Okay, sure. Great.
And do your thing.
Yeah, well, you know, as Kelly said, everything that they offer is free. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's very important because you're right. That gets rid of another obstacle. So what do we have to do? We have to raise funds. And
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of wonderful, wonderful people who have been supporting this organization for years. And how we try to do it is make it a fun activity, because if you're not directly involved, it's an opportunity to meet people, network, and we are tying into that theme of unmasking cancer, and we really that's kind of tied into the whole evening. We're going to have face painters that we're going to be painting masks on people. We're going to have some aerial acrobats who are going to be serving drinks, also wearing masks.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Aerial acrobats.
Aerial acrobats, Ray. You ought to come. They'll hand you a martini. You'll like that. and then we're also going to have some wonderful entertainment. There's actually a very young, lovely woman, Taylor Ash, who is a fabulous up-and-coming singer. She's going to be singing excerpts from Masquerade,
uh-huh.
from Phantom of the Opera,
mm-hmm.
and some other things. So we're trying to keep that theme going. I think we're even going to be doing some kind of an auction with mask raising that you can make some donations.
Instead of just having a paddle.
Instead of having a paddle.
The lady in the red mask.
Exactly. We're going to try to do some fundraising there, because I think it is very important that, as Kelly said, people feel a little bit more comfortable on what to say, what not to say. You had one cancer survivor. In fact, there's going to be people coming up on the stage in masks telling their story,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to end with the mask off,
mm-hmm.
so people understand what they've been through. And I think you have one woman coming up who literally said, they may not have diagnosed my cancer, but they saved my life.
Wow.
Because I think the whole feeling that the emotional part of it, Kelly, right, is so intense that,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
that's going to help you get you through treatment. That's going to help you get through the down times. That's going to help you feel better about yourself. And we want this to be positive. We want this to be a fun night. We want this to be interesting. And it's going to be at the Lucy, which is a lovely facility.
It's on the corner of Broad and Locust.
Broad and Locust.
I've looked in their windows at the weddings.
Yeah, it's a Sescafe facility. The ones that have V over on North Broad. Lovely facility. Thursday, October 10th. Cocktails start at 6:30, and then we have a dinner and the program, and it's just going to be lovely. And we have honorees that we're going to be featuring. Marianne Dean, who is a very well-known woman in the mainline area.
Oh.
A lot of people know her, and she's done a lot of work with cancer support. She's been great. The Gilda Radner Award. Kelly, before I go further, you want to talk about the connection with Gilda Radner? Because that's kind of how you guys were connected, right? How this all got started a little bit.
Sure. So Cancer Support Community, while we are in Philadelphia, we're also an international organization. And our local chapter in Philadelphia is a combined organization of a Gilda's Club and a former wellness community. And that affiliation was merged in 2009 nationally. So Gilda's Club worldwide and Wellness Community worldwide merged in 2009 and became Cancer Support Community. And then in 2014, we had existing locations in Philadelphia. So we decided, rather than kind of compete against each other, we just decided to merge. And that's how we came up with Cancer Support Community Greater Philadelphia. But Gilda Radner is certainly a strong part of our roots.
Yeah, especially just recently, in the past few months.
That's right, there was a video.
Documentary came out, which was so moving. I really was very moved.
Well, and I think she also was part of the reason why it kind of opened things up. She let people film her while she was getting treatment. She took the stigma a little bit away from cancer. And I think that's what Cancer Support Community is trying to do. It's okay to talk about it. It's okay to discuss the situation. And like Ray said, if you don't talk to somebody, that alienates them a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
This way, have a part of the consciousness. And we are having a family that's getting the Gilda Radner Award. That's why I brought that up. And that's Josh Snowden and his family. Josh Snowden and his family. And they had an interesting story because didn't he get cancer when the children were little?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very interesting. They have a lot of programs there on how children deal with it and how they can work through it. And also, like you said, it's a place where you can feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the strong parent a lot of times. I'm fine. Mommy, daddy are fine. Everything's great. Mm-hmm. They can go to the Cancer Support Community and let their guard down and say, I'm really afraid. I'm really scared. Away from the children,
right.
So they can kind of get their strength back when they go back home. So, so it's great.
Yeah, let me sum up a little bit. Well, you're not leaving yet, okay? but I think we learned a couple things here. Mm-hmm. And number one, there's a resource here, and there's a resource if you have a loved one who does have cancer to get some help and get started. There's a resource here for those of us who are fortunate enough that doesn't happen, but we find a friend and we don't know how to help and we don't know what to do. There's a resource here for people who want to get involved in volunteering and help. And, of course, if you have lots of extra money, you can go to the gala and, buy 10 tables, 20 tables,
right.
Whatever.
It's not that expensive. You can still come.
Our lowest
ticket is $100. Come on. Everybody's got $100.
Well, you can't get a dinner for that
You
anymore.
Can't get a dinner
That's
for
right.
that. And
let
it's
alone
lovely.
Get unmasked. Okay. So we're going to come back on that, but I think we need to take another break. And we want to talk for a minute a little bit about one of our courses that can help you plan for all of this.
Yeah, so we'll take that break.
You are listening to Changing the Rules. Stay tuned to learn about the luckiest guy in the world's online courses. These courses will guide you through an exciting process so you too can become one of the luckiest people in the world.
Okay, I guess I'm starting. So again, just like with somebody getting cancer, you don't know where to start. You don't know where to help. This is a problem with life. Here we are. We're all going to live much longer than we thought we were, okay? Even with cancer, we're going to live longer than we thought we were. So life is expansive. We've been granted more time than our parents and our grandparents have. And how are we going to use it? How do we get this plan? How do we avoid becoming one of the babysitters that is not happy with the result? What do we do? So Casey put her work together, and she developed a really interesting planning process. And you can get a copy of it free by going to one of our courses. So Casey, tell us about it.
Okay. Well, it's called, I think it's Take 20 Minutes to Plan or Design the Rest of Your Life. I forget it. It was too long of a title. But it's available for free on our through our website, which is www.theluckiestguyintheworld.com. And there's a menu item for courses, and it's the very first one that pops up. And, I'll give you a short synopsis. It's basically a 90-day planning process because, you know, as I kind of alluded to in the beginning, you know, thinking about where I want to be in 5 or 10 years is just mind-boggling to me. I mean, how do I know? Mm-hmm. And the younger you are, I think even more mind-boggling it is. At this point, I just want to be alive in 10 or 5 or 10 years. But anyway, so by bringing it down to 90 days, anybody can make a 90-day plan and not feel that they don't know what they're talking about. And the value of the 90-day plan is that at the end of 90 days, you can sit back and say, okay, this is what I said I wanted to do, and this is what I got accomplished. Is it still taking me to that sort of further out goal, or do I need to tweak it, you know, whatever. So that's the purpose of this planning process, is to help you. And this is something that you can use for a very specific problem that you have now, or it can be something – it definitely should be something that you use for the rest of your life, no matter what's facing you, whether it's a choice, whether it's – you know, like I think I gave an example at the Friends Connection that we did, where I was frustrated because I had procrastinated on this remodel that I wanted to do for 2 years, and then I finally pulled the trigger and signed some papers, but then weeks and weeks and weeks were going by and I hadn't heard back from the people. And, you know, so I had to take a step back and say, okay, where do I want to be? I want this work to be done. You know, so what do I have to do to make that happen? And so then, you know, I thought, okay, I can do that. And so I did, and it's almost done.
And it's basically three questions. And the sneak preview is, and we have, you can download worksheets that will help you do this. Yeah. But what's working in your life? What's not working in your life? And if I were sitting here 90 days from today, what's got to have changed to make me feel happy with my progress? And it fits almost everything you do. And we invite you to come to the website. It's absolutely free. Mm-hmm. And before we leave, I want to go back to Kelly here and say, Kelly, what didn't you say that you want to say? Are there any parting thoughts that you want to add?
Gosh, you know, I think going back to the volunteerism part, I think that we are a great organization where people can really find a volunteer place for themselves. And, you know, as Chris said, we're fully self-funded. So any donation of time or anything like that is totally helpful to us. So we really appreciate everything that anybody can do for us.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I just wanted to say one thing about the Unmasking Cancer, which mm-hmm. is the theme of your gala.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've heard that expression a lot recently because I have a friend who passed away from ovarian cancer, and I did the cancer walk a couple of weeks ago. And they were saying unmask, and I was a little bit confused by it because I thought, what are we unmasking? Everybody knows about cancer now. You know, they're not secretly like my parents would refer to it as the big C.
Right, right.
You know, when we were kids. But in talking today, I realized that it has to do with the masks that we put on ourselves.
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
Especially as the parent, mm-hmm. masking your feelings from your children or from your spouse or from your friends, whether you're the one who's suffering or it's someone else. So I think people need to remember that. You know, somebody may say to you, I'm fine, but that's probably a mask.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Exactly.
And Chris,
yes.
Parting comments.
Well, I just hope everybody can go to the website. There's all the information about this event. It really will be a wonderful, fun party, a way to get to know what's going on. Thursday, October 10th, That's next Thursday already. Mm-hmm. We're still selling tickets.
Okay.
For a lovely, lovely party and a way to learn a little bit more about the cancer support community and how you can be a part of it.
And let's give that website again. It's www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org.
Correct. Yes, you have to spell out the whole Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's kind of like our website name.
The luckiest guy, kind of long. I know, kind of long.
And stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. And we've got a, if you want to travel the world, you got to be with us next week.
Oh, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, exciting.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Rules, a podcast designed to help you live your life the way you want and give you what you need to make it happen. Join us in 2 weeks for our next exciting topic on Changing the Rules with Casey Dempster and Ray Lowe, the luckiest guy in the world.